Good morning and welcome back to Kirch's Corner for another weekly installment, the weekly Wisconsin Sports Roundup. As always, I'm your host, Lucas Kirchner, back again here with a little bit to discuss this week. Nothing too crazy going on, as long as you're not talking about the MLB. But to start out, we can just skip past the Bucks. Not really a whole lot going on there. Like I said previously, in that real dead spot of the offseason where really nothing's going on except continuous Giannis rumors. Don't buy into that. They haven't been real, nor will they ever be. So we can go on down to Green Bay, where they are still feeling the effects of their first loss of the season. Thankfully, it was in preseason. And yeah, there's a lot of reaction there. It was a very interesting game to watch. A lot of hype to see the Packers back out on the field, but the hype died down pretty quickly. Playing the Jets, they ended up losing 30-10. You know, and you like to say it's only preseason. Don't overreact. Don't make any assumptions. But it's hard not to be a little worried when you have a really, really bad showing like that. Especially when it gets down to the mistakes that were really made from the team. It was apparent even on the first drive. Romeo Doubs dropped a ball. There's probably a penalty. I mean, the first two drives with Jordan Love and the starters actually on the field were just embarrassing. The receivers were dropping the ball. The only receiver to catch one was Matthew Golden. That was Love's only completion of the night. Everybody else dropped it. Malik Heath had a nightmare of a game with drops. And Romeo Doubs dropped two balls. And that's really, you know, the problem that they look to resolve this year, and it's already being apparent in preseason. I mean, these are your starters out there for the few possessions that they're supposed to, you know, kind of hold it down and, you know, maybe not play full effort, but, I mean, there's starters on your team. You'd like to see them do a little bit better than that, but, and the second unit didn't get much better either. You know, Malik Willis, he ended up fumbling the ball. I guess you can be glad it's your backup quarterback. That led to a defensive touchdown for the Jets. And, you know, Mecole Hardman was very disappointing. I mean, you don't really have high hopes for him. You kind of expect not much. But your return guy, you know, he tried to field the punt, completely biffed it off the bounce. And that just gave the Jets the ball right back. And it was, you know, really disappointing. This is the guy that, you know, they're bringing in with veteran experience. It's like boneheaded plays from these guys that you should not be seeing. And along with that, Jaden Reed did not play and was walking in a boot. So a little bit worrying to have, you know, your top receiver injured. Hopefully he can figure that out or even just get some hope of what it is. There's not much news on it other than he was in a boot and he's been having some issues throughout training camp and everything. But I think that the real takeaway for me is that the team was just very undisciplined. You know, you watch everybody on the field, there's penalties, plays that just should not be happening at this level of the game. Drop passes, and a ton of drop passes that was. I don't remember who it was, but it got to a point where it was a screen pass that was just dropped. And Malik Heath was dropping passes. I mean, it's worrying that, you know, those are the kind of things that have been consistent with Matt LaFleur's coaching regime, I guess you could say, are that at times, especially in meltdown moments like in the playoffs, you start to notice these plays compound and you say, you know, these are stupid plays that you shouldn't make and ones that are really hurtful. And, you know, I saw a great tweet about this, is that this is not a game that can be marked as a conclusion for that point, but rather one that can be marked on the timeline. It's a game that's worrying, but you can't make any big assumptions off it. It's preseason. You know, anything can happen. Things can obviously get a lot better. But, you know, I have a little bit of reason to be worried. I think that's one thing I haven't liked about Matt LaFleur all this time, is that it's been consistent where you've seen guys that are just not fully in the game, I guess you could say. They're either unfocused, making silly plays, all the above. I've said it all, but I guess that's the main takeaway. There was nothing really good going on. Other than Bo Melton was in the game, he didn't do a whole lot, but he was sitting out after about a quarter. So props to him. I think he's really carved out a role in that secondary, so I'm excited to see what he can do come real game action. Meanwhile, guys like Isaiah Simmons, who some people were very high on, he was a former top pick. He was also pretty disappointing, missing tackles, just looked like he was a step behind everybody. But yeah, again, it's preseason, game one. You can't be too strong about it, but you can definitely have some early feelings about it and have some of them be justified with the looks you get on some certain players. Meanwhile, we can head back to Milwaukee to talk about probably the hottest team in the world right now, and most definitely the best team in Wisconsin. It's the Milwaukee Brewers. They have not slowed down whatsoever. As soon as they have taken first in the NL Central, they said, why not become the best team in the MLB? And that's what they are. They're the only team above 70 wins. And on top of that, they're above every other team. At least the Blue Jays are second best with 69 wins. Brewers have 73. They're four games ahead. And right now, they're 5.5 games in front of the Cubs in the Central. And that's a pretty commanding lead. And they just swept the Mets, who have been doing very poorly lately. But Game 3 mounted a comeback that was solidified with a walk-off home run. It just doesn't get much better than that. It doesn't get much more magical. That's the word of this team for the year, I think, is just magic. They've got something going, and it's been really fun to watch, and they haven't slowed down. Last 10 games, they're 9-1. You know, since the second half of the season, they've only lost four times. Out of 21 games, they've gone 17-4. It's really impressive stuff. It gets you lost for words at some point, but within the last 15 days, this was similar to what I was saying last week with Andrew Vaughn. Isaac Collins, the rookie, has been batting .409 with 12 RBIs, and his slugging is .659. He's been great, and he's a rookie. Out of everything, I think if he played more games, he's only played a little under 100, but he would be definitely more in the race for Rookie of the Year. He'd be one of the top hitters in the league with his on-base percentage. It's around 50%, and that's all year, not even within the last 15 days. Then you go down, Andrew Vaughn, we mentioned that last week. He's been great still, batting .365 within the last 2 weeks. William Contreras batting .327, 10 RBIs, 6 home runs. He hit 2 in Game 3 against the Mets, really brought him back in the game. And, you know, there's guys like Blake Perkins, Bryce Turang, they've been doing great too. I mean, among these guys, the numbers just jump out at you. And they've been red hot. Nobody is better than the Brewers right now. And I'm very excited to see how this goes later in the season as well. We mentioned either a week or 2 weeks ago how there were some injury concerns. Churio, Sal Frelick, Mizorowski, all these guys are kind of battling some stuff. But I think the thing that separates the Brewers from every other team right now, and the reason why they are so good, is that they're not relying on one star guy. If you asked, you know, who's the best hitter on the Brewers, it's kind of hard to say, especially with how good they've been lately. I mean, it depends if you say, oh, whole season, last month or so, since the second half. And there's a number of guys that come up when you think about that. And I think that's the thing that really separates them, is that they can have any number of guys have a great game. And you don't see that much from these top teams. Like the Dodgers, you know, if you ask who's the best hitter, well, it's Shohei Ohtani, and then it's Freddie Freeman, it's Mookie Betts. They've got a lot of options for the top players, but after that, you know, they kind of have to really rely on those guys. And I think of it as any number of guys on this roster could put together a great night. They don't hit a ton of home runs. They're really good with the contact hitting, and everything they've been doing has just been working so well. Everybody that comes into the batting order has just been fantastic, and it makes them a very scary team to play. There's not many names on that team that people probably know if you don't watch the Brewers. You know, Contreras, Yelich, and you ask the average person, you know, who is Bryce Tarang? Who is Isaac Collins? They're going to think you're just making up names. You know, I love the mojo they've got going of this team of built of guys on this tiny payroll that are just putting together something special in Milwaukee. Now, I don't know the last time that anybody could say this. The best team in the MLB is in Milwaukee. And I don't expect that to change anytime soon. They've been very consistent with what they've been doing. They've hit gold with their pitching, and hopefully that stays, you know, rolling for them. And they can get Mizorowski back healthy, everything like that. And, you know, I don't see them necessarily slowing down anytime soon. They do have a tough stretch in August here. The next three games, which is tonight in Pittsburgh, they start that series against the Pirates. Looks like game two is going to be Peralta and Skeens. Last time they faced off against Paul Skeens, they had a very good outing, but, you know, they haven't lost a series to the Pirates this year. I don't believe so. The last one they did not. They dropped a game, but if you ask me, that's a series they should sweep at this state of where they're playing. And, you know, at AmFam Field, I feel great about that. I don't know why you wouldn't. After that, a road trip to Cincinnati for three games that goes out to the 17th. So that'll be by the end of this week. They'll have those two series wrapped up. I think they should win both of those. So, you know, why not add at least four more wins into the column? Hopefully a sweep in there. Then after that, things get a little bit tricky. They have five games against the Cubs within 3 days. So that's almost funny to think about. So on the 18th of August, they have a doubleheader with the Cubs. Then Tuesday, they play again, Wednesday, Thursday to the 21st. So that's a big stretch of games against a team that's very good. Like the Cubs, a team that has a lot to play for in this division. Obviously, they're not on fire right now. They've kind of been downward trending as the Brewers have spiked in performance and popularity. But that's going to be a really tough stretch in Chicago. Five straight against the Cubs. That's, you know, it's hard to take that many games. Hard to beat a team three times, let alone five. And, you know, after that, they get a little break on a home stretch with the Giants and the Diamondbacks. But, you know, I don't think things are going to slow down majorly anytime soon. They haven't lost many series within recent memory other than against the Marlins, which is very interesting to think about. But, yeah, they haven't lost their footing at all. They haven't missed a step. They hit the ground running, and you know what? They started running faster. So that's the main thing to watch in Wisconsin right now as the Packers are gearing up with preseason. You know, there's some names to watch, some undrafted rookies probably, but other than that, this state is dominated by the Brewers right now. It's a baseball state, and that's who you got to keep your eyes on, hoping everything can stay together for them, but they make it hard to turn off the TV. They have been so fun to watch, pulling out miracles, comebacks, you name it, they've got it. So with that being said, that's what you got to know for this week. As always, I've been your host, Lucas Kirchner, here on Kirch's Corner. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.